Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Duncan Robinson is a part-time pastor and former church planter who's currently the co-host of Hope 103.2's breakfast program. He's a guy who likes getting up early in the morning and loves his family. Duncan is a husband and father of two. He's also a son. And with Duncan, I sat down on Father's Day to talk about sons who are fathers and fathers who are sons.
How deep the Father's love for us.
It's a pretty emotional day for me, Father's Day.
How vast beyond all measure.
You've got a complex range of emotions.
That he should give his only son.
Just under a year ago, lost my father to cancer.
To make a wretch his treasure.
I won't ever be able to go to a barbecue with Dad until I see him again in heaven.
How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory.
This is the first Father's Day since he passed?
Yeah. And Mum's birthday falls around this time as well. And so, you know, first birthday without Dad, first Father's Day without my father around, you know, it's exhausting. It's hard, you know, like, and I feel a great tension in trying to be the best dad I can to my son, and I know that I've got shortcomings, and I'm lamenting the lost opportunities every now and then with my dad, which is, you know, challenging because I don't get to rectify that. And then that influences my relationship with my son. And then I'm also celebrating this glorious Father in heaven that has, you know, kind of bountifully blessed me. You need tissues and, you know, laughing pills as well sometimes.
You need a lot. And you're of that age. We're of that age where we're in the middle generation. We're the ones making things happen now.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to our kids taking on that role one day. And I remember when my own father passed away, and that's some years now, you know, it's about a decade ago. Everything changed.
Yeah.
And I suddenly felt older and more responsible. And, I mean, I was pretty responsible anyway, but I actually felt the weight of that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it to change the way I was fathering my kids, I wanted them to see my grief. They were grieving as well. They were really fond of their papa.
Yeah.
And yet I think, you know, a little part of me went home that day as well.
Yeah.
I think of him every day.
You know what scares me? I lost my grandfather when I was 5 years old. So my last memory of my grandfather, I was in Newcastle at his residence, and he had a strawberry patch in the backyard, and I was picking strawberries.
Beautiful.
You know, and then he passes away.
Yeah.
My son's 4 and a half.
That's
loses
it.
His grandfather.
That's right.
You know, and you have this feeling, I want you to have a dad that sticks around so I can be a grandfather to your children.
Yes.
I'm playing out 25 years in the future.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't want his last memory of his son to be, you know, walking a strawberry patch. Although it's a nice memory. It's not a memory.
It's not a bad memory. And there's a way that you need to transact memories so that they become positive parts of who you are, affirmations and loving, fond things. You know, friends who pass away or family members, I say to them, look, it's really going to hurt now for a long time, but one day I pray that God will help you turn those really bad thoughts, those really horrible grief moments, into moments of real pleasure.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you tonight, because you are a pastor and you're living it. We're all living it, and we've been celebrating our fathers today, but I think we want to say, look, as men, it's tough, and as sons, it's tough, and as dads, it's tough. But as a pastor, how would you counsel someone like yourself to try to turn those thoughts into more positive thoughts?
Well, it's such a cliche adage, but I think these experiences in your life can make or break you. Mm. And the reality of faith is it gets grown and refined in the valley experiences, okay? So they carry you in so the mountaintop experience, like getting married, the birth of your firstborn, the graduation of your children, right? You know, that first kiss on a first date, all right? That's a mountaintop experience where you sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, you're dancing around.
Yeah.
Your faith isn't growing in that moment. Your faith is tested and proven when you're walking through the valley and you're desperate to hold on to Jesus. And that is one of those moments that you're experiencing right now. You know, that's what I would counsel a person. And I say, you are feeling a valley moment right now. And while we rejoice with those who rejoice, we also come alongside you and weep with you who are weeping, because we can lessen the burden by standing with you. And this is an opportunity for you to grow and to push in. What does the love of Jesus mean to you in this moment? What does the love of Jesus mean to you to experience this? And that's the challenge, I reckon, for death. It's the most average thing that could happen to everyone, and it's the most exceptional thing that has happened to you. And now you have to traverse that. And I think, just like birth, this is going to grow you as a man, as a dad, as a human. And if you come back from this and if you navigate this well, people are going to look to you to be encouraged.
Especially your children.
Yeah.
Till it was accomplished, his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
On Open House, our guest is Duncan Robinson, pastor, father, dad, and broadcaster on Sydney's Hope 103.2. Duncan, what do you then say to people who say, well, Father's Day is awful because my own father was not everything that he should have been, or many things that he shouldn't have been?
Yeah.
And we meet those people all the time. I've told this story once on the program before, but it just sticks with me. I went out to speak at a men's dinner one night, like it was one of those barbecues around the campfire stuff.
Yeah.
You know, great. And you're the evangelistic speaker that comes in. So I'm there, and I was just chatting about my own dad and lots of stuff, you know. This young man came up to me at the end of the evening, sausage sizzle in hand, and he said
classic,
to me,
classic men's barbecue.
That's it.
Yeah.
He comes up to me and he says, I just had to ask, God says we should honour our parents, he said, but I can't. I really hate my dad and I'm a bad person. I can't be a good Christian.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, well, why do you feel that way? He said, oh, look. And he outlined this story. His dad had been in jail and out of jail and had been abusive to his mom. And at this time, he was out of jail. And all this boy wanted to do was to see his father for Father's Day.
Mm.
He had gotten into trouble from his mom. She gave him money to buy a new school jacket because he didn't have one. He was getting into trouble and he was cold. Instead, he bought a present for his dad.
Yeah.
He rang his dad and said, Dad, be home. I'm going to come and see you. This involved a 1.5-hour train ride.
Yeah.
So he travels up on the train and his dad's not home.
Yeah.
And he leaves the present on the doorstep. He's got his sister with him. And he hadn't heard from his father even to that day. Mm-hmm. And he said, I hate my dad. I said, you don't hate your dad. You love your dad.
Yeah.
That's why you want to be with him.
Yeah.
But our own fathers, we all fall short of the perfection that God makes us for. And in that moment when you feel that difference, the gap, that's the moment when you're feeling your longing for your Heavenly Father and how much He must love you.
Yeah.
And He reached out through Jesus. But And so for many people, this is a hard day. And yep. for many Christians, it's a hard day. And I've often wondered about women. You know, is their heavenly father going to be different from their earthly father?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those moments where I've got a 4.5-year-old who thinks daddy is the grand champion of the universe.
But he's pretty close to being right about that.
I wish he was. But he's also encountered the humanity of his father. He's met daddy who's tired and grumpy after doing the breakfast show and has low patience.
Yeah.
And his exposure to that will grow with age. As he starts to understand and grapple more, he will realize that his father is more and more human. Mm. Now, my goal as a dad is to be the best possible dad I can, but I also have to, on some level, be honest with my son and say I'm human. And I have some incredible shortcomings and some incredible issues that he will have to negotiate. Thankfully, I'm pushing him towards a heavenly father who doesn't have those. I think one of the great challenges for that guy who jumped on a train to go there is that at some point in my relationship with my son, our roles will switch a little bit. And he will encourage me towards the heavenly father. And I wonder, in that moment, I will realize much more of my brokenness and need for Jesus.
Mm.
But it will be such an incredible opportunity for my son to demonstrate to me grace, patience, love, and affection, all which I hope he's pulling from both our heavenly fathers.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I think you have an opportunity. You get off the train after an hour and a half and your dad's not there. You could hate him forever. And what does that accomplish? Or you could demonstrate the love for the father that the father has for you by showing grace in that moment to your dad, which seems so obtuse and obscure and something that you should never have to do. But we're broken.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's the hardest thing I think for me sometimes is realizing there's going to be a day when Max does that to me. You know, I'll probably break down and cry.
It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
Duncan Robinson is with us. He's the co-host of Hope 103.2's breakfast program. And tonight he's being a father, dad, pastor, and son, quite a load. Teenage years are pretty challenging, and you've got those in front of you.
Yeah.
But you get over it, because then I've now got a son who, well, he's not in the country at the moment.
Yeah.
He rings me and he says, I love you, Dad.
I love that moment, man.
Yeah, he's in his mid-20s. He's got a professional career. He says, I love you, Dad.
That's good, man.
And I guess my father was not a father. He was of that generation, Duncan. I don't know if your dad was. The generation that couldn't say the L word.
No, exactly. Yeah. Very emotionally stoic. One of the things I really proactively did in front of my children when my dad passed, if you listen to The Breakfast Show, you know I'm an emotional guy. But I cried in front of my kids, which just ruined me on one level because I thought, I've let down the armor. But I think if I don't demonstrate I'm emotionally connected to this moment, I don't want my son to grow up emotionally stoic. I want him to know it's okay to be a man and to cry.
That's it.
You know, and for me, Ruby does the right thing, right? Ruby loves, she's like, Dad's crying, and she comes and gives me a cuddle.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, which I thought was spectacular. You know, my kids saw me broken and Max came in and I explained to him what happened and just broke down. My dad's just died and he just was devastated. And he held me and he cried in my arms. And I thought, here is at the time, a 3.5-year-old kid who gets the empathy of the moment and just wails with me. And I'm like, that's a moment that I'm going to carry for the rest of my life.
And the Bible tells us to mourn with those who mourn. I think it's something deeply, deeply spiritual, human, and something that tells us about the love that God has for us, and we're made in his image when those moments happen. And yeah, I feel sad that we've had generations of men who haven't shown that.
Yeah.
And remember the experiences that they've been through. My dad's dad went to war. So, you know, my dad was making nets, camouflage nets for the war effort when his father was in New Guinea on the Kokoda track. And he, you know, he, like your grandfather, my grandfather yeah. died when I was fairly young. And I remember that moment. That was the only time I ever saw my father cry. And it was a shock. It was devastating.
Can I geek out for a second and do a little history here?
Okay.
Because I actually find this really fascinating, is that what you have is when modernity hits, okay, and we all work in the big city and dad goes off to work, there's actually a shift in parenting. So
yeah.
before that moment of the Industrial Revolution, parenting books authored with both dad and mom in mind, okay? You're parenting at home. What does that look like? And dad played a really significant part in the emotional development of the kid.
Yeah.
Then what happens in, Industrial Revolution, dad goes off for 8 hours, which means now parenting is defaulted to
mom. We know much more than 8 hours now. Work now completely separates us from our family because
yeah.
it's a long commute.
Yeah.
It's maybe 6-7 days. You're doing two jobs just to make good. So now work has separated our family and something changes. You can talk about divorce laws and
yep.
marriage laws, and all, but the most profound shift in families was the Industrial Revolution. You're absolutely right.
And do you know what makes you a better parent is having to be around your kids a lot more, right? Is that you realize just the like I had 6 months of unemployment and I had to be the stay-at-home dad for a little season
yeah.
while my wife was working.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is full on. Like, my kids are on 24/7 and cruelly, part of me got really excited about the notion of going off to work because I could leave them behind. I was like, man, this is full on. But the only way for you to grow is to be experienced to that. And I think that's where we get this kind of emotionally stunted generation of men that were my father and your father, is that because they could go off, they didn't have to deal with that, which is where you get back home. Sweetheart, I don't want to deal with this. You deal with this, right? Which is actually a response coming from, I don't know how to deal with this or the right steps to take. You feel more experienced in this, so you take over. And so I feel as a dad, I want to take those moments, even though I don't get them as frequently as my wife, to try and learn in that, do you know?
I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer.
Well, I got to say that I was most fortunate because my dad, while he found it hard to say the L word, he demonstrated it every day.
Yeah.
And my goodness, he had emotional depth in the way he fathered us. And and so now if you ask my wife, Georgina, she'd say to you, you know, I can see you fathering your kids the way your father fathered you. He was generous and he was loving and made jokes and was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was at the funeral of someone the other day whose children got up and paid tribute to him because he was quite similar. So you've got to find a way to navigate that work-life separation. And to be a good father is probably the greatest investment you can make in the future, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Our mantra as a family is I want to raise children that are independent of their parents but completely dependent on God. And the only way I feel that I can show that dependence on God is to demonstrate that to my children as much as possible. And gosh, that's hard sometimes.
It is. But I would want to say to you, and maybe I'm saying it to myself as well, I think I'm being a good son if
yeah.
I reflect my own dad to my boys.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
I think he'd be proud of you.
Oh, thanks, Ben. But he sees what I do in secret as well, do you know? Like,
yeah.
You get part of me. I feel like sometimes my kids get the the worst of me, you know, and I have to navigate what the best of me looks like.
Sorry is a great word.
It's a great, it is. It is. And we've had those conversations. Ben, sorry, Dad. Dad's in a cranky mood.
Yeah, forgive me.
Yeah, it's forgive me. I need a moment. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an
answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
This has been real.
We went deep, unexpectedly.
Yeah. Oops, do you think there's anyone listening?
Oh, maybe. I hope so. I hope it was encouragement.
So do I. Duncan, thanks for being with us on Open House.
Appreciate
it. Do it again one day.
Sounds good, yeah.
Off to bed.
I've got to go now.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.